This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster in My Podcast.
And these are Drow.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Drowing it up.
Let's drown in these awesome, awesome things. Gary, I love Drow.
Yeah, Drow are really great.
I know, right? And I don't know how much of this is a holdover from my days in middle school and high school reading R.A. Salvatore's like Sojourn series. Like, sure. Of Drizzt getting out of Menza Berenzin and stuff like that. Like, I understand those are not good books, but, like, if they did anything, they did a wonderful job of painting what life in Drow society and, you know, the Underdark would have looked like in a very basic kind of way. I'm so into it. Oh, my God.
I was a Dragonlance boy, so yeah. I didn't read those, but I'm interested in it. I know a little bit about it from Baldur's Gate, too, but that's most of what I know about the Drow.
Yeah, so. No, and you get a lot of it here too. There's a little bit of like flavor and stuff that's not really conveyed here. But but yeah, it's great. And I wish that they weren't just like chaotic evil here because like what they show there with these dark elves, these you know evil elves that were cast beneath the earth by their good brethren, is that it's actually like really, you know, like hierarchical down there. And it's very, you know, they talk about like, yeah, it's like these different warring families and merchant city kind of things. Like it's really Game of Thrones and
it's real political. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very like courtly almost. Like them being called chaotic doesn't actually like really kind of like wrap that up for me.
I don't know if we'll ever do it for the show or something, but you got to play Baldur's Gate 2 at some point.
Yeah, I do.
The Drow chapter in it is incredible. Yeah. Like, because you go down to the thing, you end up having a mission. I can't remember exactly what brings you down there. I think you're doing a mission for a dragon.
Yeah.
But you go down there and they give you a spell that makes you look like Drow.
Oh, so you just black face up. Cork up.
Yeah, exactly. You cork up. It's a lot like Bamboozled. Michael Rapaport's being there. Fucking intolerable. It's actually they got Michael Rapaport instead of the guy that you Tony J.
Oh.
So it's a much less pleasant game. But the entire thing, like, it's so cool because you can blow your cover at any point and it becomes like a combat encounter, or you can go into like the libraries and read about drow culture and maintain a facade and never lift a finger.
Oh, nice.
Like, you can get through the whole thing, but it's a lot like being undercover. Like, you have to kind of do increasingly morally suspect things to fit in. It's like a Donnie Brasco situation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty sweet. It's a really good chapter of that game.
I've never gotten that far in it. I'm sure it's nowhere near as good, but the Hordes of the Underdark.
If you bring up Everclass Quest one more time,
no, I'm not gonna talk about the Dark Elves of Nariak, okay?
Okay, thank you. The love of God. I also almost just said I think I said Everclest, and I think it was because my mouth wanted to say the word clit again. So I'm just throwing that out again.
Now I'm insecure that Nariak is not the city where the Dark Elves lived.
Yeah, well, like, write in if you poll at duckfeed.tv. He loves to hear your fan mail about correcting about EverQuest.
I know, right? No, it's Nariak good. Woo! Okay.
You can hear that he's not spelling it right, though. So the things about the Drow as an entry in this book that are really cool is they make them out to be like these like tempting treasures. Like all their shit, all their gear is really good.
Yeah.
And they live in wealth and it's like this treasure box, but all the stuff fades unless you like kind of follow these prescribed things. All their equipment like loses its magic.
Yeah. You have to follow a bunch of gremlin rules to protect it from the sun. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I love that. That's one of my favorite sentences because they say like, oh, there's something inherent about the places where Drow societies kind of congregate, like that imbues them with this, with these semi-magical qualities.
Yeah. And it gives them this resistance to magic. They're really interesting, like tactically, not least of which because of Driders, which is actually my favorite paragraph in the book so far. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's better than the Dolphins one, but check this out and how evocative and cool this is.
Yeah.
These strange creatures have a head and torso of a Drow and the legs and lower body of a giant spider. Driders are created by the Drow's dark goddess. When a dark elf of above average ability reaches sixth level, the goddess may put him through a special test. Failures become Driders. That is such a good inversion of something because it's not like what happens to the successes. What happens if you win the test? like this super powerful like spider's tour that you can become is what happens if you fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, so you're super powerful, but you basically become feral. You must feast on blood and you're cast out from the society to.
You're not feral. You have super level intelligence.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
14 to 20.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. No. But you're still cast out in order to like survive on, you know, monster blood, so to survive on Illithid blood in the Underdark.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it is, you know, for a race as proud as the Drow are, that's a huge blow.
Sure. Sure. But some Driders hang out, right? There are like some Driders that get to hang out inside the society.
I don't know.
Is that true? Tell me, Drit Scholar, Cole Ross.
You know, I can't remember. Gary, it's been almost 15 years since I read those books. You know, I can't remember. I can't remember if they're allowed to hang around. I think that they're probably welcome but not embraced. Let's just say
that makes sense. Second class citizens. The yeah. In Baldur's Gate, they show up in like war parties. Like okay. A war party, you'll have a couple Driders with them.
Yeah, I could totally see them just kind of like forming an uneasy detente in order to protect themselves from surface dwellers. I think that the presence of surfacers unites a lot of fronts, actually.
How do you, Cole, if you had the body, lower body of a giant spider, how do you think your life would change and why?
Well, my apartment gets twice as big because all of a sudden the ceiling works out for me.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a real glasses full of spiders kind of guy.
How about you? How would your life change?
You know, I'd probably have to get a new bed. I feel like this bed wouldn't be, do you even need a bed? Do you just kind of squat down like a horse?
Well, Gary, you spin yourself a web. Come on.
The spiders sleep in a web? It doesn't seem very comfortable. It'd be like sleeping standing up.
Gary, it's like a hammock of your own design. If you could.
Man, should we be saving this for the next entry? This is really good spider material that is wasted on this actually interesting entry. You want to do a 2B continued and just go right into this tangent?
Yeah, let's do
it'll
that.
It'll be our first.
It'll be our first cliffhanger. So wait until Monday, folks.
Because you get to hear how what's asking if spiders sleep standing up. Fuck us.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.